after Jesus had led the woman at the well to himself. He started out with, he said to her, "If you knew who I am, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." And the discussion went on from there until she eventually said, "I know that when the Messiah comes, he'll teach us all things." And he said, "I am the Messiah." And she placed her faith in him and ran to tell somebody else, and ran into the village, and all the men of the village came out to see this man who had talked to this woman. Perhaps her attitude of running into the village captured their attention as much as what she said, because she had been one who isolated herself. She came to that well at noontime. That's not the time they normally went. The women would go in the morning. Notice the women were doing the well work. And they went to, they would go to the well early in the morning when it was cool and carry the water home. Well, she came when no one else was there, because that's what sin does. It isolates you. Isolates you from other people, certainly isolates you from God. And Jesus went many miles out of his own way. Didn't have to go through there, but he said, "I have to go through there," meaning it's the will of God that I go through there. Not so much, "I have to go there to get to where I'm going." He actually went out of his way to go there to meet her, and he asked her for a drink of water, which amazed her, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They were the outcasts. They were half-breed Jews. And so a true Jew would say, "I want nothing to do with them. They've blown it." And here's Jesus, the Messiah of the Jews, coming to this woman and saying, "I have water to give you. I have living water that's going to give you eternal life forever." And so she eventually receives that. Now, often in that dramatic story, the rest of the story is kind of left out, and I've done that myself for years. So we want to look at the rest of the story, because you have to understand that when Jesus called these apostles and disciples to follow him, he's basically teaching them about himself and how he does things. And so he's modeling it with the idea that they're going to be doing that too. They're going to be going out. They're going to be telling people about living water. And how people can know that. So I want to kind of zero in on that. But first of all, let's have a word of prayer. And we will look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for a special day here at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship. And it's a special day every day when your people gather to worship you, to hear from you. We pray for those who are coming, who perhaps have never come to any church, or they certainly haven't been here. We just pray that they'll feel welcome. We pray that everything that happens here will advance the kingdom of heaven. We pray for Pastor Dave. He's going to be bringing a very special message, that you'll anoint him and just give him freedom in the spirit to speak the words of God. Thank you for each one here in Jesus' name, and we pray that you'll help us to get a little closer grasp of the scripture and to see you more clearly as we look at these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, some of us have been going out. I trust maybe some of you have given an invitation to your neighbor. We had a bunch of them here. I don't know how many we had total. Do you know how many we had total? Okay. Well, a number of them went out. I don't know. And do you have any idea? Okay. I saw you laughing because he didn't know, so I thought I'd ask. Turn around, field play, right? I should know, right? Well, anyway, a number of them have been given out. And I want to say this, even though perhaps somebody didn't come to the Lord, you know, as soon as we knocked on their door, they have a piece of literature that can change their lives. And I've seen this happen in the past. There was a young girl who came to the church I used to go to from Japan, and her brother had become a Christian, and you just don't do that in that society. So he was ostracized by his own family. But one day his sister had broken up with her boyfriend, and she had a broken heart, and she went looking in his room for some literature, and she found the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she became a Christian. See, sometimes God allows a broken heart for a reason, so he can plant the seed of the Word of God in there. So think of it this way. All those Gospels that are out there, they're like time bombs. The power of God waiting to be released when somebody is desperate enough to say, wait a minute, maybe my Creator can help me. So we're glad for every piece of literature that was distributed. I went out with Mark and Mary yesterday and saw how they did it, and I learned a lot from them and seeing how they approached people, and hopefully we're going to have some more ministry. But Mark, stand up and tell us about this one woman that come on up here, and if you like, and Mark actually had the joy of leading a woman to the Lord at Onset Beach yesterday. So go ahead, Mark.
Sure. All right, praise the Lord. Again, anytime you do anything for the Lord, it's all glory to Him.
Wait a minute. Stand close. Go ahead. You can hold it that way.
That's fine. How are we doing, guys? You hear me here? All right. Yeah, you can shut me off if I get too rambunctious here. But anyways, but everything that you always do for the Lord, it's for the Lord. And that has to be your heart's desire first. So we did. We came here in the morning in the church, and Mike was here, and Dennis, and my wife. And, anytime that you can go forth, you have to remember, you are an ambassador for the greatest King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So you have a powerful message. So we went down to the Onset Beach down there. For those of you familiar with there, they have the beach on one side, sort of like a pier area on another side, and a nice little sort of gathering park over there. So we passed out a number of gospel tracts. Mary and I like to use our optical illusions and $1 million bills to do some icebreakers. And so there was two ladies, and a young girl, probably around 10, 11 years old, and got a chance to talk to her, and she was from an Episcopal church, and but she really didn't understand truly what the gospel was all about. So I was able to give her that clear presentation about what Jesus did for her personally, that many times people think of the cross as just a historical event. And I basically gave her the gospel in the sense of that he paid her sin debt that she could not pay, and that he gave that as a free gift to her if she would, call upon his name. So it was a wonderful thing. I said, you can pray at night, in your bed, before you go to sleep or whatever. Or I said, there's no greater place to pray than God's creation. And she says, no, I want to do it now. So we did. We stood up. I prayed first, and then I just allowed her to pray for her heart. Many times, we do go through like maybe a sinner's prayer kind of presentation, but I've been trying to actually avoid that recently, only in the sense of that I want it to be from their heart. There is no special words. The thief on the cross said what? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was his sinner's prayer, because the Lord said, today you'll be with me, in paradise. So she did. She called upon the Lord, and I just praised the Lord for that fruit. But somebody had definitely been working with her before, and that's the thing that we always have to remember when we're going out. It's not necessarily that you bring someone to the Lord right then and there. Your job may be to put the spade into the soil and loosen it. Maybe it's your job to water. Maybe it's your job to actually present the gospel and someone would actually get saved. But in all things, you have beautiful feet in the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace, says in Romans chapter 10. So I encourage you to continue your efforts. Praise the Lord for this church, and for having this family day and friend day. And, I just praise the Lord, and I hope and pray that more souls will be saved today.
Were you going to say something? Or?
No. You don't want me to say anything. You don't want me to talk on the mic. I won't get off.
I've heard you talk.
I'll be doing Elvis.
I've heard you talk. You're pretty good. I want to say, too, that Mary was with us. And every time I went there, not every time, but just about every time, could I give... Oh, that lady over there gave me... She's a heat-seeking missile, right? You looked at me? I have something for you. Now, God bless you, Mary. Mike, I don't know how many did you personally pass out yesterday? I came back. Wow. No, we took, but I came back. They're all gone. This guy walked. He walked out here. He went door to door. And believe me, it takes a supernatural effort to go door to door pass these things out. And so there's certainly been a distribution of the Gospels, and we want to follow that up with prayer and with some more training. We want to get some more training so that we're more equipped to pass these out and actually lead someone to the Lord. Okay, so if you have your Bible, if you have a copy of this John 4, turn to, verse 31 in chapter 4 of John. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to go over it again because it's so important. Again, Jesus is modeling how you go out and how you witness and how you bring people to Him. So in verse 31, in the meantime, the woman's gone back to the village. In the meantime, the disciples look at him and say, did he get any food? Because that's why they left him. They went into the village to buy food. And I don't see that he ever got a drink of water from that woman. Okay, this is when you're caught up in doing the work of the Lord, okay? Now, I remember reading about D.L. Moody, and he almost fainted one afternoon, and he realized, I've been doing the Lord's work, and I haven't even taken time out to eat. That's when the work is eating you up, and this is what we want to do. We want to be caught up in the Spirit, using the Word of God to effectively give out the message and to help people to come to Jesus Christ. So this is what he answered to them in verse 32. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. What's he saying? He said, there's a higher range here that you have not yet achieved, but I want you to achieve that. I want you to have the same food that I've got. Okay? So what is that food? What is he talking about? Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? You'll notice all through John 3, John 4, whenever Jesus brings something out spiritual, they go to their natural. Am I supposed to go back to my mother's womb? How can you get water if you don't even have a bucket? You know, so that's a natural response. But as we look at the Word of God, we see that he's talking about something else. It's spiritual. And it's got a real meaning that God wants you and me to know. Okay, so... So Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, let me say this. If you and I are going to do the will of God, we have to know what the will of God is. The Jews said to Jesus, what works, plural, do we need to do the works of God? And Jesus replied in the singular, the work of God is to believe on him who he has sent. Now, get this, okay? There's the initial belief where you become born again. But you keep on learning about this wonderful Savior. You know, part of learning the Bible is learning Jesus Christ. What's he like? That's why he spent 3 years grooming these men and bringing them along, teaching them past their mistakes, teaching them past their misconceptions of what God is like. He had to combat a lot of bad teaching because they had had some bad teaching, and he had to combat that. He had to show the true Word of God so that they could have that inner flow of the Holy Spirit. You know, at one point he said, you're going to be like a well. You're going to be like walking wells where the water of life is bubbling up in you. It's the Spirit of God, okay? And so we gotta. If you want a clean well, when I was a kid, we spent a lot of time in New Hampshire. And my grandmother, both grandmothers had wells. There was a time of the year where they would clean the well. Now sometimes stuff falls in there and it blocks the flow of the water. Okay, so you clean that well out. Maybe something, some big blockage in there that's keeping that water from coming up. I would say the main thing is simply ignorance of the Word of God. It's often just ignorance of the Word of God. It's not that you don't love God. It's not that you're not trying to serve Him and all that. But it's ignorance in the sense that what you don't know, it can be used against you. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus, when He's talking about the sowing of the seed, He said that you throw that seed out and some of it springs up immediately because it's very light soil, and the action of the sun and the moisture causes instant growth. But then it withers and fails. But as you read the other, and whenever you read these stories, you want to see wherever it is in the Bible, like the Synoptic Gospels, read all three of that, okay? Because we see that the sun withering this is really the persecution of the world. They're not rooted in Jesus, and they don't realize when you receive Jesus, you become an enemy of Satan, okay? And so you become a target. So you need to be reinforced inwardly so that even if you fall, you get up on your feet again and you keep on going because of the grace of God, because you understand that. You see that? Whatever you don't understand, and Satan does understand, he can twist against you. Listen, the greatest enemy of the Christian is the Bible in the hands of Satan. If you don't know the Bible, he's going to use that Bible against you. We had a friend who became a cop. One of his first things that happened with him was he got in an altercation with a guy, and he pulled his billy club out. They used to call them billy clubs. I don't know what they call them now. But anyway, the guy got the billy club away from him and was beating him up. Okay? So this is what Satan can do. You need to keep Jesus Christ and the gospel right in the center of everything else that you're learning. Jesus Christ is the main foundation stone. Okay? Added to that are the foundation stones of the apostles who continue the teaching of Jesus. And as you see that, you can grow. Okay. Now Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you don't know anything about. It's to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What a great will. You know what God loves to do? What do you think God loves to do more than anything? What?
Save souls.
He loves to save. He loves to forgive people. He loves to see a guy on the cross and he's just about to cross into eternity and save his soul forever. God is full of mercy. We got to remember that. God is full of mercy. And as we see the plight of people without Jesus Christ, we are not to feel superior to them because we happen to know. We know because somebody told us and God was merciful to us. So we want to be merciful to other people and share that gospel. God loves to do that. What a great will. He didn't send us out to condemn people. The Bible says that everybody's already condemned. We're all on the same level to begin with, and then we're forgiven in Jesus Christ. You believe that today?
Yes.
Can we get an amen to Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want to say this. Jesus is a gift that keeps on giving. We always say that he gave his life. Well, he did. He gave his life, but do you know he came out of that grave? So he's still giving his life so that you and I can have fellowship with him. You know, when we're out there doing his will, we have that sense of closeness with Jesus Christ. That's what we want. We want that sense of closeness with him. As we continue learning, we don't figure, okay, we're going to plateau now. Now we know how we're supposed to do this, and that's all we're going to do. We're going to keep on learning because one of the things I want to point out is this woman was looking for the Messiah. She said, when the Messiah comes, he'll teach us all things. The thief on the cross recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. That tells me that prophecy was involved because the whole area was saturated with the idea the Messiah's coming. If they didn't know anything else, they knew the Messiah. And when he comes, everything's going to be okay. Now, some had false expectations. They thought Messiah's going to free us from the yoke of Rome. Blah, blah, blah. No, no. He's got a kingdom that's coming that is everlasting. And everybody going into that kingdom is going to be righteous. What a great new world this is going to be, where everyone loves everyone, and right at the center of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a new world's coming for new people. Are you born again today? If you're born again, you're going there. Sometimes people say, well, when the rapture comes, only the good Christians are going. That's going to leave a lot of us out. Amen? Listen, here's what Wilmington said. The body of Christ is not truncated. The good Christians and the, quote, bad Christians, we're all going because we have a wonderful Savior. We're going to see that God keeps his word when everybody else fails. It's not about our performance. It's about the performance that Jesus Christ did on that cross. And listen, he did that willingly. This is what we want to become. We want to become those who are willingly doing what God calls to do. And there's an education involved in that. There's the experiences that we have that are disappointing sometimes, or sometimes they're rewarding, like this woman, you know, accepted the Lord. She hadn't heard. She heard. She believed. Okay. So there are good things here. And Jesus is saying, you know what? You know what I live for? I live to do the will of God. We've had moments like that. We got to get those moments closer together and more consistent. How can we do that? We can be reminded by this ramshackle highway that we live on. We can be reminded by those trailer parks where there are people just barely making it. They're one step away from being homeless, many of them, I believe. And we saw one sign that said, it was on this person's trailer, and it said, "Trailer trash lives here." Listen, Jesus loves trailer trash. He doesn't care whether you're rich or poor or black or white or Indian or whatever. He created everyone to know him and to be with him forever. We got a great God, don't we? You know, sometimes people say, well, we got to be humble. You ever try being humble?
All the time.
Don't, yeah. Well, you need to really work on that. But It's harder for you because you're so doggone good looking. You know? Listen, you want to be humble, spend some time at the foot of the cross. Go to Isaiah 53. You know, it says that they plucked his beard out as he's on the way to the cross, and he didn't turn his face. You know what that means? He didn't try to defend himself. You know why he didn't say anything in his own defense? Because he was standing in our place, and we have no defense. He became our defense. His blood cleansed us once and for all. And when we see that, when we walk in that, what joy. What joy. And why wouldn't we want to share that? Why wouldn't we want to share that, you know? So let's get the tools. I'm hoping Mark's going to come here. Mark and Mary are going to come here in the fall and lead us in how you make a presentation. The impetus that keeps that going is the love of God. So good things are happening. I've seen this guy over here blossom as he's reached out to other people. I've seen the way he talks to people with politeness, but with firmness too. It certainly doesn't take one. No, but it's been wonderful to see him develop. I want to say this. I don't know where you are today spiritually, okay? I hope that everything is wonderful between you and the Lord. But Mike has blossomed because he's been hearing the word of God's grace. He was a Christian when he was a young man. His whole family went to church back and forth, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, okay? But he never knew that you can know that you're saved. He was saved, but he didn't know that, okay? And now he's, it's like some more water, brother. You know, my wife is a gardener in our house, and I'm glad she is because I don't like weeds. And it looks like a lot of work. You know, sometimes it's so hot, it's all I can do is to force her out the door to go out and work. No, I'm kidding. But, but you know, she's got this big tub of, I think they're petunias. I don't know what flowers are, but they're just little, you know. How do you know? I didn't tell you. No. Okay, so here's what happened. Somehow, one of those got in this crack in the pavement, okay? And so I thought, that's pretty cool. So I took a picture of it, and I put it on Facebook with a little message. See, you can bloom wherever you're planted, okay? And I kept watching that thing, and we had a hot summer last summer, and that thing was, not only was it blooming, it was producing other flowers in that same crack. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a miracle. I took another picture. Look, see, they reproduced. You know what I found out? My wife had been watering it. Do you see? You want growth, you need the water of the word. that's going to keep you vitalized, that's going to keep you green, going to keep you producing flowers and fruit, okay? So let's get into the water of the Word. The Bible calls it the Word of His grace. If it's delivered in a condemning sort of way, that's not the Word of grace. The Word of grace has already dealt with condemnation in Jesus Christ, okay? And let's be those who can be corrected. Okay, this is just a devotional, supposedly. Okay, so I want you to see this, all right? This is verse 34. Jesus said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, he wants to finish the work. Him finishing the work was him going to the cross. When he got on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now, that's not his whole work, but his atoning work was complete, and you can't add to that. If you try to add to that, you're really saying to Jesus, you know what, you didn't do it all. Yes, he did. That's why he gets all the glory, because he did all the atoning work. His blood took away sin once and for all. If you would realize this, in God's sight, when Jesus died on the cross, you as a believer died with him, not as a believer, but as a sinner. And when he rose from the grave, you rose with him as a new creature in Christ, and therefore you can have fellowship with him through the Word of God. You see that? Okay, good. I'm glad. All right, here's what he says. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now, some people have envisioned that as he's saying that, these men are coming from the village over the hill, and they're dressed in light-colored garments because of the heat. And so he may be referring to them. That's the supposition. We can't prove that. But it may well be, but this is what he's saying. The fields are white unto harvest. Now, there's a little bit more to this. Let's see. He says, lift up your eyes. Proverbs 24, we did that a little while ago. God is speaking, and he says, if you see those drawn to death, and you say, we didn't know anything about it, so you're dodging your responsibility. You see that? Does not he who considers the heart consider that? You want to be blessed? Become more like Jesus. How are you going to do that? Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. You can't do it, but he can change you. He can make you a weapon in the hands of himself to help other people to come to the Word of God and to have a fruitful life in Christ. Okay. Behold, I say, okay. And he who reaps receives wages. See, that's what Jesus was saying when, you know, I have this to eat. I'm doing the will of God. That's my wages, okay? That's what sustains me. And gathers fruit for eternal life. Fruit for eternal life is people. Anybody that you get saved, they're going to be thanking you throughout eternity. We know God did it. We understand God did it. But you know what? God has chosen to use people. And when you're used of God, people, what did Paul say? What is our joy, a crown of rejoicing, except you in the presence of the Lord? He's going to be so happy to see them there. But they, conversely, are going to be so happy to see him there. And they're going to remember, he's the one. He's the one that fought that. When I was a young boy, I lived in, I went for a summer on my uncle's farm in New Hampshire. And it was a hot day. They were haying up in the upper field. For some reason, they let me sleep that time. So I didn't go with them. I usually did. So I got up, and it was sweltering hot. He loved using horses, even though he had a tractor. He still uses horses at that time. And they had men that would go in the corners and rake out the hay and so forth. So it was a blazing hot day. And I said to my aunt, did they take the water with them? And she said, no, they didn't. They forgot it. So I tucked this big jug of cold water. You can see the frost on it. And it wasn't too far to the field. I got up to the field. And I'll never forget it. My uncle standing there drinking that cold water. And it's running down his chest. And he said, you're the only one that thought to bring the water. As a young boy looking for praise from older people, that resonated in my heart. Listen, you can be the only one who thinks to bring water to people who are dying of thirst. Think about that, okay? You say, well, I'm not very important. Neither am I. None of us are very important. The Word of God is important, that it would get into people's hands. Thank God for every one that you passed out yesterday. God bless you. We don't know. That's why we have to wait until the end to find out what worked. We don't know, but we can find out at that judgment seat of Christ. Okay. That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Now listen to this, okay? Jesus, when he came, he said, I've only come for the lost sheep of Israel. So his initial message is to Israel. Who were these people who labored and planted the seed? They're the prophets. All through the prophets, if you read Isaiah 53, you can't miss Jesus. I have a friend who's an evangelist. He's talking to a Jewish woman on the phone, and he said, let me read you something. He read Isaiah 53, chapter 53, or parts of it. Who's that talking about? Oh, that's, no, he says, is that the New Testament or the Old Testament? She said, oh, that's the New Testament. It's talking about Jesus. He said, no, it isn't. That's your book, Isaiah. And she was led to see that Jesus is all through the scriptures. Don't believe that? Look at Luke 24. Jesus goes through all three sections of the Old Testament. That's me. That's me. That's me. Okay? So all of Israel was saturated with the Word of God. That's why they were looking for the Messiah. And so when he comes with his apostles, and now we can reap. Now this work has been working. You know, when Jesus came, there were people actually expecting him and looking for him. I love that story of Simeon. He's an old man. I can relate. And he's holding Jesus. And Jesus is 8 days old. And God promised me, he said, that I would not die until I saw the salvation of Israel. Here he is a person. And that old man is looking down. God kept his promise. He sent his only begotten son. This is awesome. This is awesome. So there were people expecting him because that seed that the prophets had sowed was bearing fruit now. And they, oh, when Messiah comes, I am Messiah. I am Messiah. So now, look what he says here, verse 38. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Now, what does that mean? Well, what was their labor? It was planting the Word of God. Well, when we go out, we find people that, even though they lived in America and we've been blessed and all that, they got no clue. So maybe we're planting a seed. There might be somebody. I met a couple yesterday from Virginia and got talking with them, a nice young couple, a little baby. I said, you know, Jesus loves that baby more than you do. He said, I don't think he convinced his mother of that. Well, maybe not, but you know what? Nevertheless, he did. But, so I said, so are you born again? You must have heard the gospel down in Virginia. He says, well, we have relatives that are born again. I just wonder if they might say to the relatives, you know, we're in Cape Cod, somebody mentioned being born again. You know, you never know. God can use all these things. So we may be reaping what somebody else has sowed. We may also be planting in soil that nobody's heard. Yes. What'd you say? Did you hear about John?
Prophets and priests in the Old Testament, was it their job to lead people to the Messiah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the leaders of Israel were supposed to be versed in this, and, you know, they weren't. Jesus said, you're actually working against God. Yeah, so they missed their responsibility. I got to close, okay? We'll talk afterwards, all right? Sorry, but I can't hear you anyway, so I'll probably give the right answer to the wrong question or something. So so we do have to close up here. But do you get that idea that if you go with Jesus, you're going to go with a blessing? If you don't go with Jesus, he's still going to be with you. He's faithful. He's faithful. That's not to lay a guilt trip on you. That's to say, wow, what are the possibilities? We see those trailer parks. We see people walking around that have no clue. They're walking in darkness. They have no clue. We may be the first person that ever said, you know what? God loves you. God loves you, and Christ died for you. And he wants you to know him, and you can have a real relationship with him. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and let's especially pray for the folks that are coming. We trust that we'll get some new folks, and that we keep this. Dave, why don't you come up here for a minute?